We are right now in the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph. The last thing we spoke about, we're going to spend the whole day discussing this topic today, is the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer regarding a few different discussions in Jewish history. First of all, a history of regarding who was actually, when the world was created. Rabbi Eliezer held it was Tishrei, and because it was Tishrei, he also held that the Avos were born in Tishrei and died in Tishrei. And then he also, and we'll see very soon why, he's going to argue that the future Geula will happen in Tishrei as well. Rabbi Yeshua argued in all four of those points. He said the world was created in Nisan, the Avos were born in Nisan, the Avos died in Nisan, and the ultimate Geula will happen in the end during Nisan as well. There are points they do agree upon. They agree regarding when Yitzchak was born. They agree when Sarah, Rachel, and Chana were remembered by Hashem to have children. They agree when Yosef got out of jail. They agree when our avoda of Mitzrayim was stopped. And they agree, obviously, that Nisan, we were redeemed way back in the day. Okay, so each one has stated their opinion. We're now going to discuss what these opinions are based on. It says the Gemara right now, we are about seven lines from the top of the page. Yud Aleph and Aleph. Tanya. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Minayin Shem, Tishrei Nivra Olam. Where does Rabbi Lezer get his source that Tishrei was when the world was created? Shneamar, it says in the Pasuk, Yomer Elokim, Tachaya Arat Desha, Esev Mazriya Zera, 8-3. Now over here, when it's describing what it looked like outside during the creation of the world, it seems like there's a lot of vegetation. It was Tacha Arat Desha, the land was full of grass, and 8-3, that the trees had fruits on them. We want to know, Ezu Chodesha Arat Motzia Deshaim, V'ilam Malei Peros, what month is it that the land is very lush and the trees have fruits on them? When is that? What month is that? Haviomer, is that Tishrei? That's Tishrei, meaning Tishrei is the time for, as we know, Chag HaAsif. We harvest all the full-grown fruits that are being grown, you know, during the year. As a matter of fact, let's say when Rosh Hashanah time comes, we have like it's this very seasonal time for pomegranates and the like. So we have trees that are that are blossoming with their fruit, not blossoming, but their fruits are fully grown, and that happens during the season of Tishrei. So as the Bereishis is described, as the creation of the world is being described, is described with Tishrei-like vegetation in the world. And more than that, V'oso aperik z'man revia haisa. This was a time also of revia, of rainfall. V'yardu g'shamim v'tzimchu. And therefore, we know that the Torah described it, that the rain actually fell, where there was some sort of a precipitation, and it allowed the growth of the fruits to be even stronger. Shemar, it says, the aid yalem and arts, this aid, this steam, again, is part of the story of Bereishis. The steam is going to come up from the ground. The steam is serving as a watering type of action. And therefore, based on all these lesser holes, based on all these reasons, that the world was created in the time of Tishrei. But Avi had an earlier question, yeah.
So then how does that prove that that's at the very beginning of the world?
That, so one more time?
How does that prove that that's at the very beginning of the world?
Because when the Torah is describing the gracious, it's putting in the world a certain creation, seasonal, you know, background. And the seasonal background seems consistent with a Tishrei type of season than it does with a Nisan type of season.
So this is like the first seasonal background that we're getting in the Torah?
Correct. This is the first, the world's being created as we speak. I mean, if you look in the story of Bereishis, the world's creation, you'll find the description of the plants and the trees and the fruit trees, particularly this way. And this is very reminiscent to us of what happens in Tishrei time. Okay. That's all Rabbi Eliezer. How about Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Minayin Shem B'Nisan Nivrar, Olam. How do we know that it's a Nisan? Shenemar, Lototeya Aretz Desha, very similar, Eisa Mazriya Zera, the Eitz Osev Pri. Again, not Eitz Pri, but Eitz Osev Pri. What does that mean? It means that the trees that blossom and eventually become fruits were in the world. So over here, he's focusing on this stage of their development. And when do trees blossom? We'll see right now. I forget the obvious question. It says the Gemara, Ezu Chodesha Aretz Malaya Dishaim. And here again, not Motzia Dishaim, but here Malaya Dishaim, the Ilan Motzi Peros. And the Ilan again is not Malay Peros. That was by Tishrei. Here it's Ilan Motzi Perus. It starts to bring out fruit. I mean, the beginning blossoming of those fruits happen. Avi Omer is Nisan. Time Nisan. Matter of fact, we know, we'll get to the Gemara later on to describe this. There's actually a bracha you say in Nisan when you see fruit trees blossoming, because the time of blossoming of trees is Nisan. And V'oso Aperek, Zman Behima V'chaya V'of, Shemizdavgin Ze'etzel Zeh. And we also know from a puzzle we're about to quote right now, we quoted earlier as well, this is a time of the season as well, that animals start to mate. And we know that the animal, it was mating season as well. The Torah describes that the animals would get together and Adam realized that he didn't have a partner, he didn't have a match until Chava was created. So it's also the time of year that the animals will often mate. Shenemar, it says, Love Shu Karim Hatsom. Remember this we had last time, that the flocks of sheep would be clothed meant men that often pregnant. Be pregnant. When will they be pregnant? When you can hear the certain rustling and certain winds. So we discussed last time, that was like the time of Adar, time of Nisan. So therefore, we have over here, again, a description of the Bereishis. And Eitz Osepri, not Eitz Pri, but Eitz Osepri. It was a time when the blossoming was coming, not necessarily the fruits already being on the tree. Avi, had a question?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Back in the Gemara. Now, each person focused on a pasuk that kind of spoke to them, but each person has to relate now to the pasuk that the other person was quoting and try to explain how it doesn't disprove their point. So the Gemara right now the following. So the Gemara, V'idach nam yaksiv eitz osepri. How does the first opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who said it's the time of Tishrei, but it says eitz osepri, it sounds like it's blossoming, not that it's fully grown, that sounds like it's more of a Nisan time. That's not describing how it looked at the time of its creation. It's a bracha for the future. That it should be an eitz osepri. That Hashem is giving the brachas to the trees. That they should be fruit-bearing trees. They should bear fruit for the future. And that's why it says eitz osepri. It really was an eitz pri. It already had the fruits on there. But the bracha was being given to them. It should be continual fruit growing on these trees. Okay, so that explained that opinion. How about Rabbi Yehoshua? How does he explain Rabbi Eliezer's pasuk? V'idach, Rabbi Yehoshua, nam yaksiv eitz pri. It sounds like the pri was already on the tree. How do you explain that pasuk? Huk Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. That was really that shot is the way to understand the Torah based on Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's understanding of what happened in creation. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi states, Komas and Bereishis. This Gears over here changed it to. Where's my gear set changer? Hold on, sorry. Just trying to find the... Oh, here it is. Bikoma Sun, in their full height. Bikoma Sun Nivru was created with their full height. Ladat San Nivru, it was created with their full knowledge. Rashi explains that they were actually, each creation was asked, do you want to be created? They each responded, yeah. Whatever that means. And Litziv Yonan Nivru, they were each created Litziv Yonan, which over here, again, Rashi explains... Tzivyona means in a certain form and shape, they were each fully developed. So here is a very interesting, by the way, this answers the famous question that philosophers are wondering across the world from the time of creation of the world. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Over here we say, the chicken came first, not the egg. Everything was created in its full form originally. So next time someone asks you, what came first, tell them, Roshana Dafyud Alf Ma'alaf. Chicken came first. And they'll be like, whoa, you may win a Nobel Peace Prize for that even. That's right. That's a mic drop right there. The chicken came before the egg. Anyways, the Torah is describing, what does it mean, eitz pri? It means that the fruits, when they were created, weren't created as the trees were not saplings. They were not little trees that were just developing and growing. They were created in their full form as an eitz pri already. And therefore, that's what it says, eitz pri for. Really, there was blossoming time, but it described that right away they were in the state of eitz pri. They were fully grown and fully developed trees. Like Rabbi Shimon Levi says again, they were that everything, not only the trees, but everything was created in its size and in its form and purpose from day one. And then he quotes a pasuk for to prove it. Shneimar, it says, "Vayichulu Hashemayim ve'aretz v'chol tzva'am," that the Hashem finished creating the heavens and the earth and all their constellations, Tzva'am. I'll take read Tzva'am, don't read Tzva'am, rather El Tzivyonam, which means all in their full purpose and in their full development. That's what it means. They're all created in their developed stages. Okay, we now have shown you where the machlokas came from about the world being created. Now, how about the other machlokes that we have? Let's, or the other discussion that we have in that same brisa. For example, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Minayin Shem Tishrei Noldu Avos. How do we know, Rabbi Lezer? How do we know that the Avos were born in Tishrei according to you? Shemar v'yikalu el ha-melech Shlomo, kol ish Yisrael b'yera ha-esanim b'chag. Which means that the congregation, they gathered around Shlomo ha-melech, everyone, in the Yerach Esanim b'chag. It was the month of the Esanim during the holiday. B'chag is the holiday of Sukkos. And we know that Sukkos is in Tishrei. And we call it Yerech Esanim, the month of the strong. What does that mean, Yerech Esanim, the month of the strong ones? It says, Gemara, Yerech Shenoldu Bo Esanei Olam. It's the month where the Esanei Olam, the strong ones in the world, namely Avram and Yaakov, yeah, not Yitzhak. Yitzhak, we said before, was born, we'll see later on a proof of that, was born in by Nisan, I think we said beforehand. Sorry, by Pesach. Right, it's still born Pesach time, which is Nisan. But over here we have the Avos being born in Tishrei, called Yerach Esanim, called Sukkos Yerach Esanim. Esanim refers to, again, to the strong ones, referring to the Avos, particularly Avram and Yaakov. And it was called the month of the Esanim because that was when they were born. And this is how in holiday Sukkos, which is in Tishrei. My mashma dehai Esan lishan the kifu. How do we know? What's implied the word Esan? Where do you know that it means strong? The word Esan means strong. Like the word Eitan nowadays, Eitan means strong. How do you know? Okay, so it's in the pasuk, Eitan Moshavecha, your strong dwelling place. The Omer, and it says, Shimu Harim Esriv Hashem, the Eitanim Mosdei Aretz, which means that the mountains hear the Riv Hashem, the disappointments of Hashem. And the Eitanim, again, the strong ones, the mighty ones, will hear the Shmos De'aretz, or the foundations of the earth. So we have here one pasuk again that says your mighty dwelling places. And the other pasuk says over here, let the mighty ones that are Mos De'aretz, that are the foundations of the earth. So we find over here again that mountains are called mighty. Eitanim, the Harim, which are the Eitanim. The mountains are considered mighty. So what? V'omer, it says further, Kol todi nezeba midaleg al harim mikapet al gvos, which means that I hear the voice of my beloved coming. It is skipping over the harim. Here's the important part. We'll see in a minute why it's important. Our sugya. And it's jumping over the mountains and jumping over the hills. Now, what does that mean? The mountains and the hills. Midaleg al harim. What are the mountains? Bischos Avos, that is, Schos of the Avos allows the ultimate Geula to skip over the mountains. The mountains are being described as Avos. So the mountains are Avos. The mountains are called Eitanim, mighty. So therefore, the Avos are called mighty also. What does Mekapet Avos mean? Just to finish off this Brisa, Bischos Imaos, they skip over the hills, that refers to the merit of the Imaos. So we see over here, though, that the Harim, the mountains are called like the Avos. The Gvaot are like the Imaos. And we know mountains are called Eitan, they're called strong. So therefore, the Avos are called strong. Yerech Esanim is because that's when the Avos were born. Okay. How about Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua argues, and he said that the Avos were born in Nisan. Rabbi Yeshua, remember, nine should be Nisan, although Avos, how do you know? Shnemar, it's about the Yiba Shmonim Shana, Rabba Me'o Shana, Otsis Bnei Yisrael Me'erech Mitzrayim, B'Shana HaRavis, B'Chodesh Ziv, B'Chodesh Ziv. This over here, this was talking about the month of Iyar, just so you know, the month of Iyar. And it says in the Shmonim Shana, the 480, Rabbah Me'oshana, 480 years of Israel leaving Mitzrayim, during the fourth year of, as we probably spoke earlier as a proof regarding when the kings are counted as far as their reigns go, Shlomo HaMelech, referring to Shlomo HaMelech over here, that his one second, Shlomo HaMelech, yeah. It was the fourth year. How we know that the king's reign changes during the time of Nisan of a Jewish king. Bechodesh Ziv. Why is Iyar called the month of Ziv? B'yerach sholdu bo zusanei olam. It's the month that the shining ones were born in the world. The shining ones referring to the Avos, and therefore the shining ones again. So the way that Rashi explains it here is. If you look over here in Rashi, he says that when Iyar came, it's the month right after Nisan, so they were already born in Nisan. And therefore, one shot, he has that it's really called Iyar. This month is Iyar, and it says that the month that the Zutanei Olam, where the shines of the world were born in, these are born right before the month of Iyar started. That's the way that he wants to have this drusha. We have now, again, two opinions regarding when they were born. Let's talk about what each one says about the other person's opinion. B'yarech Esanim, what do you say B'yarech Esanim? Then how do you explain the idea that Tishrei was called Yarech Esanim? We said before it means a mighty one. So awesome. No, there, by Tishrei, didn't mean the avos. It meant it's a kifei b'mitzvos. It was mighty regarding mitzvos. There's a lot of mitzvos we have during Tishrei. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur, it's Sukkot. A lot of new, exciting options are available. And it's right around the corner, by the way, about another month and a half. We'll get it, less than a month and a half even. We'll get there ourselves. And it's a time for mighty, mighty mitzvah opportunities in that period of time. That's why we explain what Yerech Eshanim, not the mighty ones as far as the Avos in Tishrei, but rather the mighty mitzvahs of Chagim in Tishrei. V'idach, and how about the other opinion? How does he explain why he says, how does he explain how Yeshua says the month of Nisan or Iyar was called the month of the Ziv, which we said means the shining ones? It means there's radiance, there's a shine, a splendor to the trees in this period of time. Because we quoted earlier this idea that when the trees start to blossom, special glory of the trees when they're blossoming, we even make a bracha, I'll quote right now, Amar Yehuda, Haiman Denafik Biyome Nisan, one who goes out, says Rabbi Yehuda, in the time of Nisan, days of Nisan, V'chazi Ilani Dimilavlave, and he sees the fruit trees that are blossoming, that are budding and blossoming. Omri makes the following bracha. Baruch shaloh chisra me'olam v'daklum. Nothing is missing from his world. Ubar bo b'riyos tavos, vilanos tavos. And he created beautiful creations and beautiful trees. These na'os ben b'nei adam, that people should at least like get hana, they should enjoy them. So here we see a splendor, a beauty that exists in the time of Nisan. It didn't mean they were born then, the beautiful ones, the ones who enlighten the world. Rather, the trees are growing then. And that enlightens the world. That excites the world off to see beauty in the world. Okay, so now we have, again, we've discussed the machlokas regarding what was created in Nisan or created in Tishrei based upon the descriptions of the agriculture in the time of the creation of the world. We now described and discussed the machlokas, explained where this comes from, of how the avos, when they were born, were they born in the month called the Etanim, or did that mean that there was a mighty mitzvah, or the month called Ziv, which is, again, the shine, the glory, where that was referring to the fact that trees are growing then. We have this machlokas, and that's what each opinion currently is holding right now. Now, how about when they died? Machlokas, when the avos die. What's that based on? This is Gemara. Man da'amar b'nisan noldu b'nisan mesu. Man da'amar b'tishrei noldu b'tishrei mesu. Each one stay consistent. Whenever they're born is when they die. Why? Shneimar, it's in the pasuk. V'yomer Elohim, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Bnei Yisrael, and he says to them, "B'nei ha'esrim shana anochi hayom. I am today 120 years old. Sheitam olam hayom. We don't need to tell you hayom. Of course, he's talking them today." So therefore, what does Hayom tell you then? Why does it say today? Hayom malu yamai ushnosai. Today is my 120th birthday, he's telling them. It's happy birthday to me. This is the day where my days and my years have been completed, meaning it's been filled. La medcha, we learn from this idea. She goes, Baruch Hu Yoshev Malei Shnoseim Shal Tzadikim Miyom Liyom Mechodesh Lechodesh. That Hashem fills the years, the days, the months of tzaddikim, he lets them live out to completely. That's why people say tzaddikim, they're born and they die on the same day. This is the source for it. Shemar says, Nebazuk, es mispar yamecha amalei, I will fill, amalei, I will fill the days of your life. So there's an idea over here, that again, that a person lives to his full amount, that is the years, and his birthday is the day when he dies as well. So therefore, whenever they said they were born, is when they would die as well, the same month, and even the same day. Okay, that is already, we've seen that idea. How about the next thing was that they do agree on? Noel Yitzchak, Pesach Noel Yitzchak. Yitzchak was born on Pesach. We know how we know that. Where's that from? Because it was at the pasuk, L'moed Ashuv Eilecha. The angels are talking to Avram and describing that Sarah will give birth. And they describe that it will happen, L'moed. It will happen at the next festival, the next holiday. Because Gemara, what day was right now? The middle right now of a holiday, and it's describing the next holiday they will give birth. So what does that mean? What day would this be? Amos Kai. When are they talking right now? When are the angels talking and telling Avram this message from Hashem that today's a holiday, and it will be that the birth of your son from Sarah will be also the next holiday that you get to. Didn't Pesach want to tell me that they're talking right now on Pesach time to Avram, the Kamerlei Batzeres, and they're telling the next Moed, which is the holiday Shavuos, that's when they're going to give birth. What? The Chamshin Yomin Mikal Yalda, how could she give birth in 50 days? Pregnancy in 50 days is impossible. That could be a viable option. So it can't be that's when they were being talked to. El Dekai Batzeres, maybe they're talking now during Shavuos. The Kamerlei, and they're saying to Avram and regarding Sarah, Betishrei, they're talking about maybe, and she'll give birth the next holiday, which will be Sukkot time, the festival of Sukkot. It can't be. Akati b'chamisha yarchi mikal yalda. How could it be that she gave birth after 5 months? It's too short amount of time. It's not a viable option. It won't survive. Ela dekai b'chag. Rather, the case is that they were currently sitting down at Sukkot time, and the prediction was that the next moed, referring to Pesach, that's when the baby will be born, Yitzchak. The Kamar Lo b'Nisan, and they're saying Nisan, again, 6 months later, the baby will be born. Of course, but that doesn't work. Akati, still. Let us see. B'Shisa Yarchi Mika Yalda. Who could have a viable child born after 6 months? Now, just, you know, nowadays, with modern medicine, even though a child's not fully developed, it's possible that a child can survive being born so prematurely. It is possible. But nevertheless, back then, it was not really an option. We believe back then there were 2 months that a baby could be born that would make it a viable option. One is after 9 months, which is typical, and one is after 7 months. Even an 8-month pregnancy was considered very, very dangerous. Children would not survive, it was thought back in the day. It was like between stages of development, and it would not survive being born at that time of Chazal soon. But, so here we have only 6 months. It's not going to cut. It's not going to make it. It shouldn't survive. So how could it be that Hashem, that the angels are speaking to Avram and Sarah during the holiday of Sukkot and predicting, describing that Pesach, it's going to be born. It's not enough time. It's only 6 months. Says the Gemara. Osa Shana Nu Beres Aisa. It was a leap year. If it was a leap year, that means there was an extra 2 others that would have allowed 7 months between Sukkot and between Pesach. Question, yeah.
The reason
to
do leap year is
have
Pesach being Nisan.
There's no reason for a leap year because it's just being Pesach. So it's not Pesach, it's the season of being Aviv is Pesach. So they have leap year to make the seasonal parts. What's that?
It was necessary
for Pesach. Because asking a very important question, and we're going to surprise him right now. He's pointing out Pesach didn't happen yet because we didn't leave Mitzrayim yet. If you look in Rashi, when he describes that the Avram gave the angels certain foods, it says he gave them matzah. The Lot also says he gave them matzah.
Says
Rashi, Pesach Haya. It was Pesach. So even though it's hard for us to understand what this means, the way the world works is like a big sphere. It's a big sphere. There's certain times that are Kedushas times. And even before we ever were freed from Mitzrayim, they were eating matzah for Pesach. I know it's hard to understand what that means. As I'll assume, there's a tremendous depth to every day in the calendar, that even before the day was made, it wasn't Stam Kuzza that it happened on Pesach. That was the day destined for these things to happen because it was from the time of creation of the world. The Avos were tapping in to Kedusha of these times before they even happened. Okay. But it's also brought, this explains also an idea, before I get to Aaron's question, an idea that that the Avos kept the Torah before it was given. So the Pshat brought down in the Ali Shore to explain this idea, I forget how many quotes, that the Avos have like a spider sense. They could tell that something was right, you know, that something was tingling. They had to do certain action. So similarly, when they celebrated the holidays, it didn't happen yet because they felt, for some reason now, I want to bake flat bread that's done in less than 18 minutes. That's what's needed right now for my observance. So how that works, why that works, I don't know. But that is the way, and that's why I'm not one of the Avos to be able to keep the Torah before it's given, but they were able to intuit what the mitzvahs should be and we're going to be. Aaron, you had a question?
When they say that it's a leap year, is that from Sora or is that from needing an explanation? So then, like, it just makes sense that it would be a leap year.
It's the only, the Sora. I mean, the way you said it now, it's the only possible month that could have worked out. Because we know he was born in at a certain holiday, and we know it was being told to him it was going to happen at a certain holiday. So it had to, the only way it could have worked out practically would be if it was a leap year and it was Sukkot to Pesach. Yeah. practice.
Yeah, this is a pretty crazy question, but you know, like you said, the world is still being created like day by day, right? So I don't know if there's any halachic source for like time travel. I hate to be that guy to throw that out there, but does that mean if there's like halachically, that's the first question. Are you able to possibly, you know, travel to the future? But if so, if the world's still being created,
What's the question one more time?
I'm saying, first of all, halachically speaking, or is there any Torah source for a potential time travel?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, there are people who are known to appear in different, but they're not people. They're like malachim. You know, Eliyahu HaNavi was seen many generations, but not that someone was able to pick himself up from place A and move over to place B, you know, or time period B. Not that I know. Okay. Back in the Gemara. So now we've figured out, leap year makes it 7 months. We still have one problem. So, at the end of the day, kimad le'mar yomei tumah, when you would subtract the days of Tumah, what does that mean? If you remember, when the Malachim came to speak to Avram about Sarah, they said, where is Sarah? And she said, she's Be'ohel. And Chazal pointed out that, if you look at the Midrashim there, she just got her period. She's got her period, which means that she was not Torah right now to be with everyone else. And it also means that she had to wait to get Torah. So it wouldn't be a full 7 months anymore. It would be less than 7 months. She wouldn't make it to 7 months because if she's right now in one holiday, 6 months later, 7 months later exactly is the next holiday. And she has a period right now. She has to wait to become pure. So we have a problem. So if Kimabli Mar Yomi Tumah, if we would subtract the days of Tumah Sarah would have to undergo before she was allowed to do Avram again. But we'd have less than the requisite 7 months. So Rav Zutra says, I'll tell you pshat. Afilu l'manda amar yoledes v'tisha, eina yoledes v'mikutayin. Even for the one who says that if you give birth after of your 9 month pregnancy, it will not be cut short months. It'll be full months. It'll be a full term. It will not go prematurely. But yoledes l'shiva, yoledes v'mikutayin. But if you gave birth after 7 months, it's a viable amount of time. It could even be that those months were not full months. I mean, the last month, it could have been into the 7th month. That would have been enough. A great question. Amar says in pasuk, "Vayil tufas hayamim." It says it was the tufat hayamim, which means this series of days. Now, what does that mean? The word tufa, says Rashi, is always referring to Chana. Chana, when she was she was waiting for a long time to have children, the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel, called it tufat yamim. So new tufat is time. The tufot is time. The tkufot, the smallest amount of tkufot, plural could be is two. Umiut yamim shnayim, the smallest amount of the yamim could be is two. And what do we learn from over here? The word tkufa is like a season. We know there are 4 seasons, so every season counts as 3 months. Therefore, that means that at the end of, after 2 seasons, which means 6 months, and 2 days, which is 2 days. So into the 7th month, Chana had a child named Shmuel. So we see over here that, again, if you carry full term 9 months, it's going to go full term, it says. But if you carry 7 months, a 7-month child, which is possible to have, its survival rate is pretty high back in the day even, it could even be in the 7th month, not only for 7 full months. The proof was that Chana gave birth after tkufot yamim, plural of seasons, is 2 seasons, each season being 3 months, so that's 6 months. And yamim, the plural of yamim, is minimal too. So it's 2 days, 6 months, 2 days, she had her child. And therefore, we see over here that as long as you can get, you don't need 7 full months. You have to get into the 7th month, and therefore, also by Sarah, take away some of the days for the period that she had, and the Torah process she had to undergo. So less than 7 months, that's true. But we know when it comes to the 7-month pregnancy that the children are very viable to survive that. It can even be within the 6 months. After 6 months and a little bit of days, that also would be sufficient. Aaron, what do you got?
Is this another thing that like the Avos Yemos like kept or like knew halacha kind of?
Also true. Yeah, we see that they were sensitive to the neither rules. Certainly, very good. Certainly, yeah. Yechiel.
But how can we learn from Chana because it was a nes chad? You can't learn from a nes.
Well, you can even within the nes that she had children. She was barren. But even within a nace, Hashem makes the nace happen in a teva way, which means that it still was a normal amount of time that it should have been a viable pregnancy. Okay, good question though. Says the Gemara further. So that's that piece. New piece now. A new discussion where we want to kind of analyze and just point out. And that is as follows. Yeah, that is as follows. Says the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah nifkuda Sarah, Rachel, v'chana. Not they became pregnant then, but they were remembered then. Sarah, Rachel, v'chana were remembered on Rosh Hashanah time. We know that's the case. Amar Lazar, Asya Pekita Pekita, Asya Zechira Zechira. We have a double Zechira Shavah. From Pekita to Pekita and from Zechira to Zechira. Ksiba Rachel, Zechira Rachel, Vayizkor Elohim as Rachel. Hashem remembers Rachel. Ksiba Chana, Zechira Chana, Vayizkor Hashem, that Hashem remembered her. And we know, Vayizkor Zechira Zechira, Vayizkor Rosh Hashanah, Ksiba Shabbason Zichron Shura. So we have the word Zechira by Chana, Zechira by Rachel, and Zechira by Rosh Hashanah time. So that's one part. And how about Pekita? Pekita Pekita, Ksiv b'chana, Ksiv b'chana, ki pakad Hashem es chana, Ksiv b'sara, Hashem pakad es sara. And therefore, combining all these limudim together, we find that chana, sara, and Rachel all were remembered by Hashem on Rosh Hashanah time that they would be having children. Again, not that they had children on Rosh Hashanah, but they became pregnant on Rosh Hashanah time. But they remember Rosh Hashanah time that they would be having children. Okay. Furthermore, Rosh Hashanah yatsa Yosef b'beis ha'asurim, that Yosef left jail on Rosh Hashanah time. How we know me no one? Very bottom line of Yud Aleph Malach. Tichsiv, Sikuba Chodesh Shofar, Bekesel Yochagenu, Hichok Yisrael Hu. And the next pasuk says, Eidus, one second, next pasuk, I think. Just look, hold on. Yeah, next pasuk says, Eidus B'Yosef Samo B'Tseiso Me'eretz Yisrael. This became a testimony for Yosef. When Yosef went out to Mitzrayim, he became the ruler of Mitzrayim. So we see over here, it makes a drasha of the Tikubah Chodesh Shofar, but Kesef over here, what was the month that you blow shofar where it's Kesef, where it's covered up? So that's Rosh Hashanah time. It's the time of Tishrei. And we also see over here that Yosef is described the very next pasuk of leaving. So it means that he went out Rosh Hashanah time as well, out of jail. Says the Gemara a little further. Rosh Hashanah Batla Avoda Me'avo Sein Mitzrayim. That during Rosh Hashanah Avoda we stopped working. We were given a freedom of not working anymore. It says by us in the story of Pesach. Votzeisi Eschem Mitachas Sibul Mitzrayim. I will take you out of the suffering of Mitzrayim. Uktiv says also awesome over there. Hasirusi Meisevel Shichmo. That's referring to Yosef. Leaving jail, that he took me out of Siblos Mitzrayim. He took us out of Sevel Shichmo, which means he took him out of the burdens, Sevel, of his Shichmo, of his shoulder. And we see over here the word Sivlot Mitzrayim and Misevel Shichmo, those are connected. From that connection, we suggest, just like Yosef was taken out on Rosh Hashanah time, so too. Bnei Yisrael stop working Rosh Hashanah time. Finally, the last point, and we'll stop over here. B'Nisan Nigalu. We know that Nisan, everyone agrees they were redeemed. The Isa, as we know already, that's what happened. That's what basically happened in Nisan time. But Tishrei Atid Nigal. We have machlokas regarding Tishrei, but Tishrei, in the future, will we have Galus? Will we have Geula? Have we know Asher Shofar Shofar? We have a Gzer Shav between Shofar and Shofar. Ksiv Hacha Tiklu B'Chodesh Shofar. It says by us that you blow the shofar on a month, right? Uksivas is over there, but Yom Ahu Yitakav Shofar Gadol, referring to the big shofar blast that will come, signifying the ultimate geula. So again, the lashon of shofar and shofar is that those happen in the same time period, and therefore will happen Rosh Hashanah time. That's Rabbi Elazar. Yeshua argues, and he says, "Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Nasid Nigal." We know. So Amar Kra Leil Shumarim. It means it was the night of Shumarim, of guarding. What does that mean? Leil Hamashumar Ubab. Here's the main gracious. It was the night that was guarded and protected from the time of the creation of the world. Again, that was the time. This is a day. This is a night. A night that will be Shamur. That's being protected. It described Pesach, which is Nisan, as being the Leil Shumarim, and it meant it was the night that was being reserved from the time of creation for the future geula. And therefore, we see over here that geula will happen during the time of Nisan. The Gemara says, well, what does the other one say about that? The Edoch, the other one says, no, Laila HaMashumar Uba Min HaMazikin. It was a night not in the future, but right now, in time of Pesach, it was a night that was protected from Mazikin, from damaging spiritual creatures. Now we vaz tamayo is going according to the reason. Sorry, it's not over here, but the point over here is that this last piece over here, Pesach is called Lel Shimurim. So either it means refers to that Nisan, there'll be a future Shimur that we're waiting for us to have as ultimate Geula. That's one option. And option number two is that no, it means that the night of Pesach is a night that is Shamur, protected from spiritual damaging things. And we even have the custom of not reciting Kriyas Shema Lamita on Pesach night because the Kriyas Shema is used to have us be protected from the things around us. We don't need that. It's a Lel Shemurim. It's protected from us anyway. We also open our door up on Pesach to represent this idea of Lel Shemurim. Stop over here. Any questions you have, you come right back on afterwards.
Hey, Rabbi.
Go ahead, boys.